Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. A special welcome to all of you joining us from home here on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, or for those of you measuring time on a different rubric, the last day of the World Championships here in Eugene. Thanks to everyone for your patience with the parking and everything around church these last couple of weeks. Now, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, let us take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all who are able to rise for our first hymn.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Genesis 18. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether, according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that righteousness fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose five of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of five?" And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord. The second reading is a reading from Colossians 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through the faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with legal demands. He set aside this, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without a cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
Before I read the gospel for today, I want to begin by reminding you that this version of the Lord's Prayer, the one that's closest to the one that we typically recite together each Sunday and the one many of us have committed to memory, that version is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew as part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the one Jesus preached at the beginning of his ministry. While Luke's version, the one we're about to hear, is part of what is referred to as the travel narrative. This is when Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and the cross that awaits him there. So it's at the end of his ministry. This is an important distinction, I think, because it helps us to see that the writer of Luke Acts places an emphasis on the role of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit that's given to us. And now hear the gospel. According to Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And your friend answers from within, "Do not bother me, for the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Jesus said, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." After this, Jesus asked, "Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I wanted to give that little background before I read for you the text today, because if you notice that right away, instead of saying "our Father," Jesus simply said "Father." And there's lines that are left out that are included in the gospel according to Matthew. And that's the one that's most familiar to us. I also wanted you to hear that this was at the end of Jesus' ministry and not at the beginning, as it is in Matthew. So having heard the words that Jesus taught his disciples, and that we ourselves have in turn learned to pray, coupled with the two stories, or the one story and the several examples that Jesus gave, I want to encourage us to acknowledge that this can have a point out 3 things for us to remember or to glean from it. One is our dependency on God. I'll try to make that a little clearer. Our second is our need for persistent prayer. And the third thing is God's desire for us to be open to unexpected surprises. Now, first, whenever we engage in prayer, and by the way, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to pray. There's not a specific formula that you must use. And I don't think that prayer takes only one form. I think there's many ways to pray, through song, through meditation, through silence, and through words, just to name a few. But there's no right or wrong way to pray. Whenever we engage in prayer, though, it assumes a reciprocal relationship with God. God with us and us with God, both individually and communally. Prayer invites us into relationship with God. Even in those moments when I'm talking to myself, I sometimes wonder if what I'm really doing is praying to God. I'm wondering if there's some relationship thing going on where when I'm thinking or speaking out loud and I'm all alone, if I'm really praying to God in those moments. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying "Father" or "our Father," he was emphasizing a familial and intimate relationship with the Holy. To be clear, the image that Jesus uses of God as Father was never intended to invoke in us painful memories of an abusive earthly father or mother or anyone else for that matter. Rather, I invite you to think of this as a reminder of a deeply personal and intimate relationship, a connection, if you will, like that of a truly loving parent who ideally has the best interests of their child at heart. And I want to identify with that dependency, especially an infant or a young child has with the person who serves as their caregiver, whether that be the mother or father or both, or a grandparent or whomever. It's essential to their survival before they're even capable of fending for themselves. An infant needs that parent figure to provide for it, to nurture it, to help it to grow. And perhaps that's a way that we can, that can help us to understand God's desire for a close and loving relationship with all of us, with each one of us. Like when a parent has a relationship that is loving, nurturing, protective, and supportive. In the best sense, it's one where the parent will do anything and everything they possibly can. Anything within their power to protect and to provide for that child in order for the child to grow and to thrive. Again, we all know earthly parents will fall short of that. Sometimes we fail. Just as rebellious children sometimes fail to receive the direction that their parents give them. We have a propensity to be like rebellious children who fail to heed the love, nurture, protection, and support, and even the appropriate discipline of parents who are looking out for their child's welfare in order to keep them safe from harm. That's what God does as well. Provides for us to keep us safe from harm. And that too speaks to our relationship with God. For all too often we rebel against God. And it is our sin that separates us from God. But not God from us. Second, to pray as Jesus taught his disciples means to be persistent. And to pray with persistence is to keep on asking, to keep on searching, to keep on knocking. For in asking, we will receive. In searching, we will find. And in knocking, the door will be opened. Two things I want to point out, though. In our first reading for today, we have an example of that kind of persistence in the story of Abraham's pleading, begging God to relent from punishing the righteous along with the wicked. That story serves as an example for us not to give up, but to keep on keeping on. You can be sure that God will never give up on us, ever. The other thing about searching and asking and knocking is we may not get what we ask for exactly, or what we were searching or hoping to find, or the door may not open in the way we had hoped or expected. But the third point is when the door was fine, we find ourselves knocking on, does open, and trust me, it will open, then we should also be open to the unexpected surprises God has in store for us. Today, Jesus reminds us that if earthly parents who are flawed are able to give good gifts to their children by loving and nurturing them and providing what their children need, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Notice Jesus didn't teach his disciples that when they pray, God will give them whatever they ask for. Instead, he tells them that the Holy Spirit will be given to them. That is both a promise and an invitation. Jesus promised his disciples that when he returned to the Father in heaven, He would send them the Holy Spirit, an advocate, to be with them forever. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and they were empowered by the promised gift of the Spirit to continue Christ's ministry, so that not their will, but God's will be done on earth as in heaven. And that very Spirit is also given to us. It's given to us as both promise and gift. For the Holy Spirit continues to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify us in our faith, so that together we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is promise. But there's also an invitation to keep on knocking. And with it comes the promise that the door will be opened, just as it's not just, though, what we expect. We have to be prepared to expect the unexpected. Because in prayer, when our hearts are opened, we might just be surprised what it is God has in store for us. We could give countless examples of things in our own lives where we've asked or prayed for one thing, and suddenly something else happens, and we realize that that was God's will for us, not what we were praying for in the first place. It might even cause a once rebellious teenager to decide at the age of 30 that she wants to enter into a fuller relationship with God. Perhaps an answer to her grandmother's persistent prayer. In just a few moments, we have the privilege to do what I have never done in my ministry before. And that is to stand before one young adult, Morgan McKenna McCrory, who is publicly affirming the promises God first made to her in the waters of holy baptism. And we will welcome her into our family of faith and into the mission we share. Now, a little backstory is Morgan at age 14, whose family's part of this church for now many, many years, at age 14 wanted nothing to do with confirmation class, in spite of the fact that her sisters, Lexa and Maddie, both went through confirmation at Central Lutheran Church. Morgan, in her rebellious state, said, "I'll have none of that." Now, I respect parents who allow for that. Let your children say no for a time, because God will continue to work at them and work at them and work at them. And suddenly, as in Morgan's case, she calls me up and says to me, "I'd like to be confirmed as a Lutheran. I mean, to go through confirmation class, not just to make the promises public like when we affirm our baptism, but I want to do the class, the preparation." And so that's what we did, one-on-one, on Zoom, for several months. And Morgan and I looked at all the things that we typically look at with 14-year-olds, only this was more fun. This was far more interesting and engaging because there was conversation continually, and Morgan realized all the things that she had learned as a child were also in the recesses of her memory. And she was able to discover for herself that she knew a lot of the stories in the Bible, and that they had always meant something to her, that her relationship with God was always there. And so today, in just a few moments, we will witness this. And it is a joy, Morgan, to stand before the congregation and to have you stand with me and us together, and recognizing that the Spirit did, that the door that was opened up for you was the gift of the Holy Spirit that was there all along, but now that you're claiming for yourself. and so that you can partner with us in the mission we share. And for that, I want to say thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Let the doors of our hearts be opened, O God, to receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Equip and empower us with whatever you see that we need. Then send us out with good courage, trusting that your hand will lead and guide us, and that you will never abandon nor forsake us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated and Morgan to come up in just a moment here. As we continue the service, I'm going to ask that you pull out the red hymnal and turn to page 234. The numbers are at the bottom of the page, at the front of the hymnal. And so as you turn to page 234, and I've asked Larry Campbell, as a representative of the congregation, to present Morgan. And I have a feeling that Larry will have a few words to say before he does that.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say that my wife, Arlen, and I, after 42 years at Central, decided to go to a new members class a few weeks ago. And Pastor didn't disappoint us. But one of the things that impressed us was a young lady who was attending that class. She had a thirst for knowledge. She was most interested in how she could participate with Central Lutheran Church,
and she wanted to get closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it gives me a great thrill, and Pastor, I appreciate you allowing me to do this, to present Morgan McKenna McClory, who desires to make public affirmation of her baptism. And I also like to say I'm pleased that I'm one of the first to greet you.
And now I invite you to join with me in prayer. Merciful God, we thank you for Morgan, whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called her to yourself, enlightened her with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished her in the community of faith. Uphold Morgan in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all those whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. And now I invite the congregation to stand as we join together in professing our Christian faith. And so, people of God, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin, and confess the faith in the church. First, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And the congregation may be seated. Morgan, you have made public profession of your faith in this community. And so now I ask you, do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, please respond, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
And people of God, I ask you to support Morgan and pray for her in her life in Christ. Will you promise to do that? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. Would you kneel? Morgan, your Bible verse on this, your confirmation day, the one I have selected just for you, is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and on, and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Morgan McKenna the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. People of God, let us rejoice with Morgan. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. You may now, I invite you to welcome her into our family of faith. Thank you.
and a gift from the church.
And if there's any other 30-year-olds that want it, we'll continue with the prayers of intercession.
Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Rooted and built up in Christ, we pray for the church. Embolden church leaders to take risks for the sake of the gospel and equip the baptized to proclaim your extravagant love for the whole world. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the works of your hands, we pray for the natural world. Make rivers and lakes, oceans and all waterways sparkle with your radiance. Protect water sources and care for those who attend to them. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Interceding on behalf of the vulnerable, we pray for the peoples of the world. Inspire all rulers and governing authorities with your justice. Guide the work of legislators and public officials that they advocate for the well-being of those they serve. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Abounding in thanksgiving, we pray for this congregation and all partner congregations and ministries. Bless the prayer and fellowship of ministries in this place. Bless also the ministry of Camp Lutherwood, both the staff serving this summer and the campers they serve. Call us together in times of praise and blessing, trouble and sorrow. In your holy name, merciful God, hear our prayer. Persistent in prayer, we pray for our neighbors in need. To all who have hunger, give daily bread. To all who have bread, give hunger for justice. Heal those who are sick, injured, or in pain. Open to us to the cries of those who suffer. We pray especially today for Terry Chapp, Cynthia Flores, Arlene Fors, Claudia Hardwick, Dolores Lewis, Christine Prescott, Alice Rothstein, and Marilyn Tollefson. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him to new life, we give thanks for your saints who rest in your eternal presence. Join our voices with theirs as we sing of your great glory. We pray especially for all those who loved Dave Prescott, whose memorial service is this week. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Just take one moment to turn to one another and share a message of peace. us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bonds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And when he gave thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For distribution, we will begin with the lectern side first. You'll come up, receive a wafer, and dip it into the divided cup that has red wine or white grape juice. Come, for all has been prepared. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before receiving the benediction, a few announcements of our life together this week. First is to note on your calendar, as you see in the back of your bulletin, that the memorial service for Dave Prescott is this Tuesday, the 26th, at 2 p.m., also on the live stream. Second, you notice that next Sunday, that starting dinner groups back up, there is the kickoff event will be next Sunday as a picnic at 1:30 p.m. at the Dietz's home, and you can see more information about that in your bulletin. Lastly, make note on your calendars that a longtime member who has been living in Portland for the past several years, Thomas Brady, has died and will be having his service here on August 6th at 2 p.m. It's Saturday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Now, I invite all who are able to rise to receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.